town in America.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout Mid-America.
Radio? Well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world.
Time to climb up on our big shoulders and get inside our massive heart.
This is the Saturday Night Special with Amy Guth.
Welcome back to the Saturday Night Special. You heard the woman. I'm Amy Guth. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday evening with me. I'm most grateful to you for that. So tonight, my friends, we're talking all about building new skills as an adult, but I am not talking about the work skills. I'm talking about the fun skills, the things we've always wanted to do, but we've always said, oh, I don't have the time, or oh, I don't know how to do that, or I don't, there's a million excuses that we have, right? But we've all got those things, whether it's playing an instrument, running a race, climbing a mountain, painting a painting, all those things that are just fun. And sometimes we talk ourselves out of because we don't feel like they're practical. So we were just talking about kind of the reasoning behind that and how we think it through and how we talk ourselves out of things, but why we really need to embrace fear. That's what we were just talking about with our friend Saya Hillman, who's a regular contributor to this program. But I want to shift now and talk a little bit now about the what and the how. And so I have to welcome some very exciting guests to the studio now. One is by phone, and that is Jennifer Harrison. She's a USAT certified triathlete coach. She has coached 2,500 at least people to complete triathlons. And she herself has been at this for more than 20 years. And she's done some cool, cool things, including more than once competed in the Kona World Championships. And if you are into triathlons, you know that that is a very, very big deal. Welcome to the program, Jennifer.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you're here, too. And we also have with us Chris Walls, who's a musician and an educator. You know him from the Old Town School of Folk Music. He teaches banjo, guitar, and mandolin there. And so what I want to do is talk all about, because the two of you, you help people to get things off their bucket list, and you help people realize some skills and develop and sharpen their skills and take on things, although those skills may be very, very different between the two of you in terms of what the two of you work with. I want to talk about that because I do think there are some through lines that are very similar in terms of kind of the philosophy behind why people want to take on new things, how they approach learning, kind of the best ways to train and learn for new things and practice. And there's probably a lot of similarities between putting in practice hours on the guitar and putting in training hours for running a race or doing a triathlon. I'm sure of it. But let us start really with kind of how you personally help people to, help them to expand their horizons and take on new skills. Jennifer, let's start with you.
Yes. You know, it's very interesting because there's a couple of buckets of people that get into triathlon or parts of triathlon, either the swim, bike, or run portion of it. And a lot of them, we're finding recently, are adult onset, what we call adult onset athletes. They're not the superstars that swam at Stanford, got bored, and then got into triathlon. There's that group of people. But what we're getting into now is this adult onset triathlete who is usually very type A, usually not always an executive at some sort, meaning a very successful, driven person. And they're looking for that next, can I say, quote unquote, high, that next challenge for themselves. And it's a little bit of a fear factor for them. Some of them are definitely very competitive. And so they're looking for an outlet for that competition that might be a little bit more healthy than the standard vices of gambling and stuff like that. So we're seeing a lot of adult onset. And I work with a lot of athletes that come to me and say, I've never swam. I've never really biked. I do run a little bit for fitness, but I signed up for the Ironman. And I have 6 months.
help me get there, right? I suppose it's good to have a deadline. That'll motivate you to do things. But so, Chris, how about you, though? When people come to you wanting to learn a musical instrument, do you find that's the same as what she was saying with the people that would necessarily want to jump on board a triathlon?
You know, it's interesting.
Oh, I'm going to turn your mic on and everything. How about that?
Oh, thank you. it's interesting. There's a really wide range of people who come to where I work, the Old Town School of Folk Music. And the first night of any class that I teach, I always ask, who here is a recovering piano kid or recovering band kid or something mm-hmm. like that? And they all, you know, a lot of hands go up. And I hear about experiences with an instrument. Oh, my folks made me do it, or I was supposed to do it, or was this, I was tasked to do this. And like Jennifer's situation, these are adult learners that are saying, well, now it's my turn. Now I'm going to do this for me. I've got the time, I've got the inclination, and I have a little bit of the perhaps life experience to put behind learning something new. And my job is to make that not frightening.
Which is no small task, really.
Well, it can be a little bit of it can be a little bit of a challenge. But if you make everything easy and accessible, or I guess better put, if you make everything within the realm of possibility, people will tend to jump for it and really put themselves in.
And how do you put something kind of within reach and within the realm of possibility?
Well, with beginners, people who've never played before, first of all, I don't sort of show myself as an example of here's what you're going to be able to do in a year or so. I say, well, here's what we're going to do tonight. You walked in, and this is what you know now. And when you leave tonight, this is what you're going to do. And, you know, I've been at the school for 20 years, so I'm fairly practiced at getting folks to set their fingers on the strings and play the chords and have them sound decent. And I always try to instill a sense of not letting the guitar or any instrument that you play be one more thing in your life that you feel you ought to be responsible to. If anything, let the time with the instrument be a break from responsibility. I tell people, if you pick up your guitar every time you feel like goofing off, you'll be amazed at how often you play.
Very interesting. Jennifer, how about you? How do you how do you tackle that what seems like a daunting task of where people just want to run really fast and swim really well and do all these things so quickly? How do you address that?
Yes, and very parallel to what was just said and very well said is that I say the same thing to my beginner athletes. The problem is a lot of people want to get into triathlon for sometimes the wrong reasons. They want to lose weight. They want to be healthy. And they're just much easier things to do than go do a triathlon when you're trying to lose weight. So I try to understand what the athlete's goals are. And starting very simple, and I try to get people to go through the progression of triathlon. Okay, let's start with the sprint triathlon first, and then let's move to the next level, which is Olympic distance. And I tell everybody it's a process. Just like learning a musical instrument, triathlon and being an athlete is a process. You don't just wake up and are this awesome, successful athlete. It takes a lot of time and a lot of practice and a lot of commitment. And to add on, it also needs to be fun. And I always tell people, remember, this is a hobby. We're not getting paid to do this. Some of it has to be task orientated because you have to do A and B in order to get to C. But we also have to have fun. And so I make sure that they're riding with friends sometimes or they're joining a run club sometimes. So just different ways to kind of keep people motivated.
I think that's really important. Chris, the way you said it, let it be a break from responsibility.
Yeah.
I think that's super important because, you know, Jennifer, as you say, it is task oriented. Sometimes it's like another box to check. I have to practice this instrument X hours a day, or I have to run this far on my training schedule or do whatever it is I have to do to learn this skill. It's easy to kind of merge that with the to-do list that's stressful in our lives. And I think that's a really good point to make sure to remind yourself that it is for fun and joy, and it's for a break, not for another thing to do. My friends, we're talking all about picking up new and fun and joyful skills as an adult, because we did so much of that as kids, right? We went to summer camp and we came back with all these arts and crafts skills and archery and all these things we could do, right? And we don't do that as much as adults because we tend to be putting so much time into families and careers and all that good stuff. But tonight we're talking all about it. We're talking about picking up the fun and joyful skills that are on our bucket list, the things we want to do, whether it's running a race or playing an instrument or whatever. And we have two great great guests with us. We're talking with Chris Walls, who's a musician and educator at the Old Town School of Folk Music, and Jennifer Harrison, who's a USAT certified triathlete coach. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation and take your calls and text messages at 312-981-7200. Back in just a bit on 720 WG. WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth on the Saturday Night Special. Thank you for being with us this evening and sharing part of your Saturday evening with me. I am most grateful to you for that. We're talking all about picking up new fun skills as an adult because, you know, we went to summer camp as kids and we did all these fun things over the summer, learned lots of stuff, and we don't do that as much as adults, right? We tend to focus a lot on our careers and our families and those kind of things, but it's really important to take time to do things that we enjoy. And we all have those things just kind of sitting there in the back of our minds. One day I'm going to learn how to play this instrument, and one day I'm going to take this trip to so-and-so place, and one day I'm going to run that race and do those things. And as we were saying in the first hour, there is no such thing as the perfect time. So we talked a little bit about that. But now we have with us in studio Chris Walls, who is a musician and educator at the Old Town School of Folk Music, which is a really, really great place. If you've never been to a show there, I encourage you to do so. It's really, really great. He teaches banjo, guitar, and mandolin there. And we also have joining us by phone, we have Jennifer Harrison, who is a USAT certified triathlete coach. She has trained thousands of people to complete triathlons, and she has done a whole bunch of them herself, including she has competed in the Kona World Championships. So that is no shabby task right there. So here are two people that know what the heck they're talking about when we talk about learning new skills that are fun and enjoyable but still challenge us nonetheless. So I want to pick up where we left off there before the break, really. But when we talk about, you know, the people that come to the two of you to learn these new skills, there's usually some kind of catalyst. It's not an accident. Someone didn't just wake up and say, today's the day that I'm going to learn to play the guitar or that I'm going to run a triathlon or whatever. What is it that you see the most that has been like the thing that made someone decide now is the time, I'm going to do this right now? Chris, let's start with you.
Well, everybody before they're a player is a listener. Mm-hmm. So at some point, a student will tell me, oh, I heard such and such music, or I heard such and such player, or I saw this great guitar player, this great banjo player. And that's the motivator. You know, I want to play just like that.
So-and-so.
That person. Mm-hmm. And the trick is really to gently dissuade them of that particular notion that, yeah, we're going to try to pick up as many skills just like that great player that you admire, but along with that, we're also going to tap into how you play like yourself.
That's very, very important, because I think that would set you up for a lot of frustration if you walked in and you said, okay, success to me looks like playing exactly like Eric Clapton or whatever.
Right.
Like, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
And there's a lot of that, but if you let people know, well, Eric Clapton plays the way he does because, sure, he's a product of his influences, but he's also thinking for himself as a musician, and that's what all the great ones did, and that's why they sound so marvelous, and that's why you're attracted to that sound. Well, what if you tried to do that? And in some ways, that's a much harder task, because how do you sound like yourself if you're not 100% sure what that is? And if you want to sound like Eric Clapton, you can say, well, if I listen to everything and practice all the things that he ever did, then I can do it, because it's quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
And your own creativity, your own imagination, in some ways isn't, because you have to continually explore it.
And I think there's something very difficult about learning the unknown in that way, to learn what your own style is before, you know, as you're learning the instrument, before you even know yourself what your own style is musically.
Yeah.
That's got to be really difficult. But I've got to think, Jennifer, I've got to think that also translates on some level into the way you approach a triathlon, that you have to do it your way, that there's a, you know, proper techniques, but I think on some level you probably have to just embrace your own way, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, with people, lots of various people come to me for triathlon coaching, but a lot of them usually come through if they haven't seen, kind of like Chris was saying, they see this magical person out there. For us, it's they see on NBC, they see the Hawaii Ironman, and they're like, I want to do that. And so we go through the process of, whoa, that's the top 1% of the traffic in the entire world. So let's start here to get to there. But I also tend to see a lot of people that are running 5Ks and 10Ks, which is an accomplishment in itself. However, they're bored. So they're like, what's next? And they want to keep climbing that level or each rung. And so we start and, you know, at level one and say, okay, this is what you can do, and try to create some joy and some, you know, what do you really want to do and some fun with it, and then go on to the next level. Ours is very, very linear, and getting athletes to understand its progression is really a challenging part, because not only do we have the three sports of swim, bike, run, but I also have to worry about recovery, sleeping, all that other stuff, as well as nutrition and strength and all this other stuff to keep people healthy.
Sure. And so in your case, to kind of back up a little bit, where do you see, what is the catalyst in people's lives when they decide is it about the next challenge and the next high, or is it more to it? Is there something kind of deeper that when people start running or wanting to do a triathlon?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I was joking earlier that I should have, you know, that we need a little bit of a psychology degree, because I think it's a little bit of, I do have a lot of people that are, you know, something traumatic has happened in their personal life, or they got pregnant and somebody made a snide comment to them. Oh yeah. Good luck with that after you have the baby or babies and stuff like that. So there's like usually some kind of catalyst, that drives them to prove something to themselves or prove something to somebody else. And there's that inner, I can do this. And that is a great, healthy, feeling to have, passion to have, as long as it stays within the realm of happiness, because unfortunately in the world of triathlon and any probably endurance sports, we have outliers, and those outliers push too hard, too fast, do too much, they overtrain, they get sick, they ruin their marriages, they ruin their relationships. And so things get really very tricky when you're spending 15 to 24 hours training a week, which some of these high-end athletes do. Obviously, from a beginner standpoint, that's not necessary, but that's a road that I make sure that I protect for these beginners.
Chris, as she was saying that, you were nodding. Does that translate to musical instrument learning?
I really think, and I'm really fascinated with the things that that Jennifer has to say. I think so much of taking on a new challenge as an adult learner is to counteract the fragility that we all feel in terms of being adults, and all the various stresses and responsibilities and small things that might happen during our day but resonate with us in a very large way. And I think everybody looks for an outlet or an antidote or a way to sort of, you know, hit the release valve on that. And one of the things that Jennifer was mentioning earlier, which I thought was so important, she said it's great if people can do it in groups or, you know, with a running team. And community, I think, is a really big deal for anything like this that you take up. If you have a room full of people who are just starting, who are just learning, who have gone from zero to some, regardless of what the activity is, there's a bond there. You know, that's the group of people who didn't know how to do something when they came in and now know how to do it. And it's this bunch that learned it together. And folks like that, I think, tend to really bond and stick together for a bunch of years.
I can totally see that. I think there's a lot to be said for going through a common struggle on some level, even if it's just learning and being in that sometimes very vulnerable and awkward space of being a learner. Because I think once we get out of school, we're not used to being a student of anything. And I think sometimes that can be really challenging,
very
and people
so.
Can be a little defensive sometimes to be back to flexing those student muscles again. We're talking with Chris Walls. He's a musician and educator at the Old Town School of Folk Music, and Jennifer Harrison. She's a USAT certified triathlon coach. And we're talking all about learning new, fun, cool skills as an adult, but all the other stuff that we got to deal with as it comes up, right? Because it's not just about that skill. We have to deal with ourselves and get out of our own way in order to do those things. So we're talking all about that tonight. We're going to take a little break and come right back in just a bit on 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight. I appreciate you sharing your Saturday with me. Tonight we're talking all about learning new and fun skills as an adult, not job-related skills, none of that stuff. We all have to do that kind of stuff, for better or worse. We're talking about the fun things that are on our bucket list, like learning to play an instrument, learning how to run a marathon or do a triathlon, or learning to oil paint or do whatever it is, those things that maybe don't feel super practical, but there's something tugging at our heartstrings that makes us really want to tackle that thing. And so we have with us in studio Chris Walls. He's a musician and educator, and he teaches banjo, guitar, and mandolin at Old Town School of Folk Music. And on the phone, we have Jennifer Harrison, who is a USAT certified triathlon coach, and she has coached a ton of people to make it across that finish line, and she has done it many, many times herself. So she knows what she's talking about, and he knows what he's talking about. So we've got some good experts in here for you this evening. But right before the break, we were talking about the things that really serve as a catalyst for students and kind of getting into that student space, because I really have to think that it's very difficult, and probably for some people, a defensive space to after we get out of school, we start to let those learner muscles kind of atrophy. And it's probably very difficult to step back into that, into that student mode to learn how to run, to learn how to swim, to learn how to play the guitar, to do all of those things. And so how do you get through that as a teacher and as a coach? How do you get through those things to get people to just kind of calm down and take it step by step? Jennifer, let's start with you.
Yes, and I think one of the things that they've already succeeded in is, I always say as adults, because in college we don't have any money, sometimes you do better when you know better. But when we're adults, I always say people hire the best. If you have the money, hire the best, because there's nothing better than good coaching and good mentorship. So whether it's learning to play a musical instrument, trust me, I cannot play a musical instrument, and I would absolutely hire the best if I could. If that was something that I was wanted to try to achieve.
I was going to say, because I got a guy right here. We can get this done.
You know what? Just listening to Chris, I'm getting all fired up.
I know.
I need to play a musical instrument. But anyway, same thing with triathlon. It's one of the things I find with adults that's very different than children. I work with children too, is that with adults, there seems to be a confidence issue. They feel like they need to, quote unquote, win or succeed right off the bat, or they're so hard on themselves. And I don't know if this is just super type A triathletes and runners that have achieved other areas of success in their lives, and now they're looking to, like I said, do this bucket list triathlon or marathon, but they're very hard on themselves. And me, one of the things I try to work on is just their confidence and their ability to not look at this as something that they need, that they need to win. Enjoy the process, in other words.
Chris, you're nodding again.
Yeah.
Are you finding more crossover there?
Oh, I absolutely am. And I think that there's, because I work in a place called the Old Town School of Folk Music, and people think, I think subconsciously they get in and they tell themselves, okay, well, I'm in a school, so there's going to be some sort of assessment. And one of the first things I let them know is that there are no grades. You don't flunk the banjo. So it's just, it's just the process, exactly as Jennifer said. And one of the things that I do is I try to get everybody, and I'm sure this is true for Jennifer's experience as well, because anything physical has got to require this as well. I tell them sometimes you have to use what I call the four-letter word, and that is patience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the last thing that people want to be, is patient. You know, oh, I saw this thing, I want to learn it, I want to do it right now. And it's like, well, no, it is a process. It is a journey. One question that I would have for Jennifer is, I mean, you've been doing this for so long. Do you ever feel like you're there, like you get there wherever there is, or does the goalpost continually move for you?
What a great question. I struggle with that. You know, I wear two hats. I wear the athlete hat and the coaching hat. And from the athletic hat, I have asked myself many of times, this will be my 21st year of competing just in triathlon. And before that, I was, you know, the high school athlete and you know, all the athletes, you know, I did everything. And I have asked myself many times over the years, am I done? Have I reached everything? And I finally said recently, I've done almost everything I've wanted to do in this sport. But the goal keeps, to add on to that, the goal keeps changing, because as I get older, you become, now that I'm 40, you become a master athlete. So we call masters. And for people that are listening, masters athletes, when we refer to that, that's anybody over 40, which sounds ridiculous because that's not old, but that's what it is. And so then there's goals and there's PRs, personal records, and there's new things to achieve as you get older. And our sport is broken up in age categories. So if you're not a professional and you race as an amateur, then it's every 5 years. So the 15 to 19-year-olds compete against each other. The 40 to 44-year-olds compete against each other. So the thing that keeps a lot of us triathletes and runners going, if you're competitive, is we celebrate every time we age up. So when you go from 39 to 40, sometimes that's a bad day for many people, but for athletes, we're like, oh, yes, new goals, new records to try to achieve. So it's kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but it gets tricky because we go, you know, it's age graded.
That's great. I think that's a marvelous way to look at it, because I will get a lot of students who are older, who are retired, and who are maybe coming to an instrument for the first time, or returning after many decades being away because of lives and jobs and children. And there's always the question, well, you know, am I too old to start again? Am I, you know, is my brain going to work the right way to make this music? You know, are my fingers going to work? And invariably, they always do. And I always tell people that wherever you think there is, whatever in quotes there is for you, you never get there. Because there's always, oh, now I got to work on this new song, or I just got this new idea, or I just want to, oh, I got to get this next thing. I got all the other things, and now I got to get this next little lick or this trick or whatever it is that you might be going after. So the journey is continuous until you get to the point where you're just going to put the instrument down and you're really done.
So even for you, you still feel like there's so much that you're still after.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I was younger, it used to be about... you know, a lot of notes and playing with, you know, a lot of volume and muscle. And as I've gotten older, and I know this is true for athletes as well, it's all about finesse and thought and not so much about muscle. I tell my students now, you want to maximize your leverage and minimize your stress when you play.
Mm, I like that very much. Hey, David Jennings, did I hear a rumor that you have recently taken up the guitar yourself?
Yeah, I kind of got hooked on listening to people like Pat Martino and Emily Remmler, and I know there's no way I'm going to sound like them anytime in the foreseeable future, but I played classical piano when I was a kid, and it's like, all right, let's try something different, because, you know, studio apartment, no room for a piano full size. So I figured, guitar, why not? I like it. How much, you use the word patience, Chris,
yes,
how
sir.
Much am I going to need? Let's put it this way. I was watching a video online and just trying to get my fingers to a G major chord.
Mm-hmm.
Highly entertaining.
Well, I always have to sort of reserve judgment with folks learning online through videos that they might stumble onto, because there's a wide range of ability and expertise that's out there. Trust me when I say it's easier than it looks, but you do need a little bit of one-on-one, the same person in the room saying, oh, adjust your thumb here, curl your finger this way, and then when you hit the chord, you're like, there you go, that's the sound you're looking for. Now remember this position, and this is what to work on. And after a while, as with piano, your fingers will know what to do.
And good news for you, David, we got a guy at Old Town School of Folk Music now, so that's the good news.
I can help you out.
That is good news.
And David, what about a marathon?
Yeah, and...
let me put it to you this way. In junior high school, it was the 40-yard dash. I was ready to keel over at the end of the 40-yard dash, and that was before I started to smoke.
Oh, David.
So running and I, we're not good friends.
It's for another time. It'll be for another time. It's all good.
It'll be the next life.
Maybe this one. We'll see. We'll work on you because we got a guy for that too. Good times. All right. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, you know, we mentioned technology. We mentioned watching YouTube videos. And I want to talk about technology and how that filters into the way we learn, especially with running. We have so many wearable technology. But also with learning an instrument, you can learn anything on YouTube. But as we hinted at just now, it may not be the best way, or it may not be all that we need. We may need a lot more than that. We may need some one-on-one counsel. So we're going to be talking about that here in just a bit on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us this fine evening. I'm so glad that you have chosen to share part of your weekend with me. We're talking all about learning fun skills tonight as an adult, right? We learned a lot of fun stuff when we were kids. We'd go to summer camp. We'd learn arts and crafts, maybe an instrument, maybe how to shoot a bow and arrow or how to swim a certain way or boat or whatever. But then we grew up and we had to learn a bunch of work stuff and things like that. For better or worse, but nonetheless, we take a little bit less time for the fun stuff that's just kind of languishing on our bucket lists, right? So we're talking all about that tonight, whether that is learning an instrument, running a race, painting a painting, sewing, whatever that thing is. We've all got that thing that we're thinking of the perfect time to do it. And as we have learned tonight, there is no perfect time. It's just a matter of jumping right in, but it's also a matter of finding the right people to help you get there. And so that is why we have some excellent guests in the studio tonight. We have Chris Walls with us. He's a musician and educator at the Old Town School of Folk Music, and we have USAT certified triathlon coach Jennifer Harrison, and she is an athlete herself, so she knows what she's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. We're happy to have you both with us, and we have still so much to cover in such a short time left in the show. But you mentioned YouTube videos right before the break, and I want to talk about that because we are in a really interesting time where the barrier to entry is very low for a lot of things because anyone can broadcast and anyone can, you know, there's so much music out there that we can find. There are so many videos you can learn to do almost anything, things you didn't even know you needed to know how to do on YouTube. Right. You can learn all of that through a podcast or through YouTube or something like that. And I've seen there's a lot of fitness stuff, I think, especially on Pinterest. There's so many like Fitspo kind of inspirational boards. And then there's a lot of interesting apps that help us at the gym or help us run. There's interesting apps to learn how to do anything. So as you are looking at the, you know, all of the, and I'm going to separate technology and social media a little bit because I think they play different roles here. But what are the things that you're seeing as most helpful to students of your respective disciplines as you're kind of getting the latest crop of students? What have you seen? What has technology started to change for you? Chris, let's start with you on that one.
Well, I look at it in two ways. First off, you know, the internet is the greatest library that's out there, but I think you have to know how to use it, certainly, and you got to know what you're looking for. And it's okay in the beginning not to, but hopefully you wind up being led in a good direction that's gonna take you towards something that's gonna be fulfilling, or something in the case of being an athlete where you're not gonna do yourself an injury. The one positive that I get with students coming in is interest, not just in music as a general thing, but in a very specific artist, somebody that they've seen or that they've heard that they had no idea about, that they stumbled upon, and now they want to know all about Son House, mm-hmm. or Norman Blake, or Robert Johnson, or whomever. And that, I think, is a wonderful gateway into the music. I think it's fine for folks to say, oh, gee, I've always wanted to play the guitar and not to have a particular direction. I think that's fine because you can find your direction mm-hmm. ultimately. But I always get a real charge out of gaining a new student and having them say at the first lesson, you know, I heard Norman Blake on the radio. I heard the way that he flat picks, and I just love that. Can you show me how to do that thing? Because that's the sound that I really want to make mm-hmm. come out of my instrument. And I think that's marvelous because a lot of the music that I teach is real niche oriented. It's not widely popular. And so for me, that's great. Now the downside, I'll very quickly, is I get this a lot too with people who've said, I try to teach myself such and such instrument by going on YouTube and I hit the wall and now here I am. You have to fix me.
And do you find that you have to unteach some bad habits there?
Occasionally, I always try to put it in a way of let's not unlearn this or undo this or get rid of this. Let's take what you know and mold it into a way that's going to really bring you what you're mm-hmm. what you're looking for.
Sure.
You know, and in some cases, it's more of an adjustment, more so than it is, let's forget this altogether and start from the beginning.
Sure. Jennifer, what about you? I mean, I've got to think that some of the wearable technology is really helpful to new athletes and established ones, too. But you know, where is the upside and the downside of technology and social media for you?
Yes. Well, let's start with technology for triathlon. You know, it depends on the audience because I coach people from middle school age all the way up to my oldest is 75. So the different generations use technology very differently. The kids that I have, and when I say kids, I mean, you know, anybody under basically 25. The kids, and I coach at the University of Illinois, so I coach that triathlon team there. So that whole team of 200 kids there, the technology and the level of how smart they are is almost astonishing to me because college has changed so much. University have changed so much since I was there 25 years ago or whatever it was. And their technology is they live and breathe and die off how fast they're running. What distance is it? How many calories did they burn? You know, and did the heart rate trend up? Did it trend down? Were they dehydrated? My job every day, and one of the things I do every day with is read data files. So the athletes will download all their technology, Garmin's, Forerunners, polar heart rate monitors, doesn't matter, power meters, that means how much power you put out on the bike. They download all that into a program, and I get emails generated to me all day. And that's a big, huge part of my job is just to read data all day, give them trends, give them, hey, listen, your heart rate is way too high here. You're either not recovering, you're not drinking enough, or you're getting sick. So data drives a huge portion of triathlon at an intermediate to higher level. The problem with technology is that people become too reliant on it. And then all they're doing is looking at their watches and their data. And they're not only are they missing the pure joy of the running and the biking and the swimming, but they're also too, oh my gosh, I didn't run hard enough. Oh my gosh, I ran so slow today. Well, yeah, you ran slow. It was 90 degrees outside. So a lot of my job is analyzing that data and getting people to really understand their bodies and understand their body's cues, their breathing, their sweat rate, and stuff like that. And when they're younger, then they're really into it. The older generation, people that are not as used to technology, I'm trying to get them to learn technology so that we have some parameters to measure progress.
Interesting. I've got to think that all, like, looking through all that data is really, really interesting to just kind of watch what a body does. But I mean, I can, as you were saying that, I was even thinking of like running on a treadmill versus the sidewalk. You know, you get used to the control you can build up and the confidence you can build up running on a treadmill. Then you go outside and you're like, I can't even run around the block. What's going on? Because you had that pacing tool with you, you know, the treadmill was pacing you in such an exact way and controlling the conditions. And there was no, you know, pebble or chewing gum in your way or whatever, dogs to run around. And of those things. So So that is really interesting. So as we are coming to a close, though, I would turn this to both of you. What advice would you give to someone who is listening and maybe considering stepping into your respective disciplines in some way? Where would you tell them to start? Or what advice would you give them as they're going through the process of taking on a new skill that's just for the joy of it, just for the fun? Jennifer, let's start with you.
I think the biggest piece of advice that I would say is don't be afraid. The biggest thing that I see with the probably the normal athlete is confidence. They're afraid of failing, or they're afraid of not learning fast enough. And I just want to say, and I would say to myself about learning a musical instrument, I would be petrified to go in there and try to learn the guitar. And that is the advice I'd give to somebody that wants to do a 5K or 10K. Start slowly. Don't be afraid. And have fun. As cliche as it sounds, this is why we work so hard in our careers and our jobs, is so we can do some of the fun things.
Indeed. Well, you know what? I've pretty much decided I'm going to take Chris's class. So if you want to take it with me, Jennifer, we can go do that. And that'll be a thing. We'll and then we can start a band, and it'll be really, really cool.
Yes.
So Chris, what about you? You know, what advice would you give to someone who's considering taking up a musical instrument?
Well, it's easier than you think it is. I will often say this to my students. I say that whatever instrument we're working on is easier than a lot of players and some teachers like to make it look. Mm. And it really is easier than it looks. And the basic philosophy, just play every day. Don't look at it like practice, because a lot of people think that's a negative word. Don't look at it like work. Find some time that's just for you to pick up that instrument. And even if you're doing the simplest things, if you're working the strings every day, improvement is unavoidable.
There you have it. I think there's a lot of crossover between the two areas where you both have your expertise. And I think there's a lot of lessons for any new skill that we might want to pick up. And I think the big message tonight that we've learned from all of our guests is to take risks, give it a try, dive right in, and don't be afraid to ask for help from people who know best how to do that thing that you want to do. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to turn you over to Dave Hoekstra. He's got a very big show lined up for you, so you definitely want to stick around for that. But first, we'll get you to news and all that good stuff here in just a bit on 720 WGN. All right, that about does it for us on the Saturday Night Special here on 720 WGN. I'm Amy Guth. We'll see you back here next week. Special thanks to producer Rachel Woodall, to David Jennings up in the newsroom, keeping us informed about everything that's going on. And thank you, big thank you to my guests, Saya Hillman, Chris Walls, and Jennifer Harrison, for all sharing their considerable knowledge and expertise with us this evening. We're very grateful to have your minds here in the studio. We will have you all back again sometime. But in the meantime, There's so much I can learn from all of you. I feel like I want to go do a triathlon and learn to play the guitar, and maybe all at the same time. But it's very, very important. I think the message we've certainly gotten tonight loud and clear is to just do it. There's no perfect time. We just have to do the things that are on our bucket list, and we have to make time to create the joys. And we can't think about it like practice. We have to think about it like a thing that is joyful and that brings us joy, and we have to really, really embrace it. So that does it for us.